Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
T-shirt.
Why is like our disposable income bloated this month? I got to make some T-shirts.
Honey, I only spent $6,000 on T-shirts this month.
That's great. I mean, that's the new lead for the show, isn't it? That Dubs ran out to the mall yesterday and got this T-shirt made up to support Jimmy's. I mean, Jimmy's been campaigning for this all weekend, hasn't he? To get onto this, what's it called again? The
Legends Row.
Legends Row, yeah. So basically at BMO Field at TFC, the fans have put together an initiative called Legends Row where they pick out, you know, legends of the club over the years. And I think there's five or six so far, and they're trying to find the next one. Jimmy hasn't been selected as yet for some reason. I don't know why it is, but we're campaigning to get Jimmy voted on. And Dubs, can you stand up for everyone?
Show everybody my rack. Well, see, look, it's a V-neck, obviously. So it says first signed, first captain, put Brennan on Legends Row. So that's opposed to the Legends Row that Jimmy and I usually have on the dark web. This is Legends Row.
That's brilliant. Very funny. And at the expense of us making fun of you calling yourself a legend.
I know. Hashtag Hall of Fame. No, I'd like to say, though, that it's a Rhonda Brownlee joint. Mm. So I can't take – I got the T-shirt made. We didn't defy any sort of post logic in order for her to get me the T-shirt. She sent me the graphic and I had it printed on a T-shirt.
So Rhonda rolled it, so to speak.
That's right. I lit it and puffed it.
That's brilliant. So if you want to vote for Jimmy, just go onto our Twitter feed. You can find it all there. You can find it throughout Twitter right now if you're a TFC fan, of course. How to vote for Jimmy Brennan. How do you feel, Jimmy? Do you feel special?
It was actually quite funny because I had no idea what was going on because this weekend I was with the U17 provincial team. So I checked my phone at the end of the day and I just seen all this Legends Row stuff. And I was going, what the hell is all going on here? And it just blew up. So it does feel, I do feel quite special to be honest with you. And I love the support. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
We should delve into this Ontario under 17 situation. Yes. What's going on there?
Yeah, I'm coaching the under-17 provincial team.
That's wicked.
So yeah, it was pretty good. This weekend was an identification camp. So I think we had about maybe over 100 players, best players in the province. And then we had to select the best 22 players over this weekend. And then we'll play some games against another province. I think we'll play in Quebec and others. So it was pretty cool.
It's so great, Jimmy, that you're out there volunteering. It's amazing.
Thank you. I'm getting my community hours in.
That's right.
What have you done?
So, Jimmy, how do you determine the top 100 players in the province? Who does this?
So there was loads of us. Loads of us there. There was the coaches from the U16 team, U17 team, and then we had a lot of local coaches that were coming out, coaching the teams, and then identifying as well. So then collectively, you all come in together at the end of the day, and then you put down your best players in each position. So you take two left backs, two left wingers, two center backs, or four center backs, right? So for every position, you're trying to look to find two of the best players. And then everybody puts their thoughts in, and then you get your team.
So explain this to me. Sorry, Craig. And forgive my ignorance here, right? But say there's five brilliant central midfielders, like brilliant.
Yes. Right?
You can't drop three of them. You got to pick them all, don't you, and find a way?
Well, you would, because if I played a 4-3-3, there's three positions in midfield, so I would take five of them.
So you just lied to us when you said that you picked two in each position.
Well, I would take two number eights, two number tens, and two number sixes. Thumbs in force. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was it showcased just this past weekend, and that's it? That's it, Jimmy? Or is there another chance for these guys?
No, this was it, right? So throughout the year, they've been identified, these players. Then they all came into Toronto, so just kids from all over, whether it was Windsor, Ottawa, from Thunder Bay, Sudbury. They all come in into Toronto for 2 days. They play a couple of matches, and that's it. They don't get selected, and then the ones that stay, we'll get together, I think, in the next 3 weeks. And then we start having some training camps and a couple of friendlies, and then we go into this little tournament.
How's the talent?
When is the Canadian Championship?
It's not what it used to be, the Canadians. No, this one, it's a lot smaller, and that one's going to be at the end of May. But there were some really, really good players. I was impressed by a few of them, especially the under-17s. They were really good, but the U16s, they had some great little talented players, which was really nice to see.
Jimmy, I thought you were describing my dating history when you said I'd take two number sixes, two number eights, two number fours,
a couple of threes
in there.
Two number threes, try really hard.
40 nines.
40, JC, yep.
That's longer.
Only the best takers.
Longer getting the wrong positions. Yeah. At the end of the night, he's like, "Oh, this is a 10," and then realizes in the morning, it's like,
"Yeah, Wonger will take the three dressed up as a 9." Yeah. Sure. Why not?
The number four had a great camp, but just didn't make it once the lights came on. Yeah.
Defensive structure's fucked because he only took attacking players.
I can see Wonger in the morning. Excuse me, love, do you play center back or are you a rugby player?
Yeah. I don't like all this attacking stuff.
Why do you keep slapping me? Hey Jimmy, do you get all the Ontario garb now, or all the swag, and have you got like JB on your chest?
No, we just got a shirt. We're waiting for all the gear to come in.
Will you get JB on your chest?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I always wanted.
He just gets that done in his polos. He doesn't have to be coaching Ontario to do that.
Or his regular shirts like, have JB. His initials.
A double espresso for JB.
most of my tracksuits.
See, my goal in life is to be.
I put my own logo on it.
Have you got your own logo? Your own like little, swoosh, JB swoosh.
It's a V.
It's a V.
Wannabe legend.
It's the hand one. The hand V though is the.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it is. It's diamond.
Jimmy's badge signal on soccer.
That should be on the back of that T-shirt.
It should.
Hey, Rhonda, can you design Jimmy's logo, please? That would be amazing.
No, someone put a big smoke in my mouth.
That was great.
That wasn't a smoke,
that was
Jimmy.
Another one.
That wasn't a smoke.
Who was that against?
Look at the end on that.
Legacy football fan.
Legacy football fan. Yeah, really
quote,
cool stuff.
Yeah. Co-tweeted Rhonda, who had some great graphics of her own, it should be said, as she always does. And then he had one of Jimmy, like a more recent photo. And it kind of looked like Jimmy style, like we were talking about Jimmy's mafia or mob name. That photo would fit perfectly.
Now, good stuff, Jimmy. By the way, your mic's not working, but fiddle around if you can. Otherwise, you haven't got your mic, have you?
What?
Mm-hmm. You haven't got your mic, have you? You're not there, are you? You're not home. And you've got to bring your mic.
What? Hello? It's not working.
Why do I even ask? Let's stay with Canada theme show. Great weekend for the Canadian teams in MLS. Fantastic weekend. Three games, three wins, including, Dubs, your Montreal in Miami against the starless Inter Miami. But who gives a shit about that? 3 points and 3 points, right?
Yeah, I mean, not entirely starless, but it wasn't the Miami team that played Nashville on Wednesday, that's for sure. And we are talking on the dark web. I think it's less about Miami and really talking. We talked about how much they care about their brand and how much they value it. I think it's less about them looking at the opponent and deciding strategically to rest stars for those games. And I think it's about, as Forrest pointed out, them doubling down on these different competitions like Leagues Cup and CONCACAF Champions Cup, where they are going to prioritize. So I think not that they care less about the league, about MLS league play, but it looks that way just in terms of how they're going to rotate. And they didn't do it very successfully against Montreal. They looked leaky defensively, which was one of the things that I think Montreal was going to look to capitalize on. And Kokoro looked really dangerous. And now that's Montreal, I think five different goal scorers through three games. It's their best start since 2013. Where they opened the season 3-0. So that's them with two wins and a draw, just like TFC, which is great. And Vancouver also undefeated, which is great, only through two games though, but still awesome start for Canadian clubs, which is really good to see. I think it's a surprise. But anybody who's seen Laurent Courtois in press conferences has seen the way the team has sort of rallied around him, rallied around his philosophy, the way that he treats his players. He's got that respect back in spades, and you can see the way that the guys are playing, and it's just bringing out the best of them.
It's been pretty impressive, actually, isn't it? Yeah, and looking at Miami, you're right about that. I'm trying to figure out what they would prioritize, but the CONCACAF Championship is obviously something they want to be successful in and to appear in the first 32-team Club World Cup. I think they will prioritize that to a certain extent. And with the league not being that important where you finish, you know, if they finish in third or fourth in MLS and they get in the playoffs, they can worry about that later, right? So they have to rest the players at certain times. Messi, Suarez, Busquets were all rested. I mean, Suarez came on and whatever. But
so did Busquets.
And Busquets, but too little too late.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, Dubs, and I want to hear it from your perspective, because I read a couple of season previews from south of the border, right? And the consensus is that Montreal is really like the smallest market in MLS. They don't really care about Montreal. Does Montreal know this? Is that kind of like a chip on their shoulder and something they can use to galvanize themselves throughout, not just this season, but any season?
From the players' perspective, I don't think they give a shit, right? But I mean, the fans absolutely do. If that's the narrative on socials, anybody who's in like sort of the soccer circles around the city, clubs, and when I go to talk to teams, it's sort of what floats around all the time, that no one cares about us and we're going to show them type thing. But we're ill-suited to make some noise last year. But now I think feeling, as you said, galvanized by the results, galvanized by the talent and the depth that all of a sudden exists in this roster and the leader like Courtois. So I think it's the players, I don't think have a chip on their shoulder. I don't think they look at it as we're going to prove these experts wrong, but I think a lot of them got it wrong in terms of how these Canadian teams were going to start the year.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, this is old man waving fist at cloud, but I'm playing devil's advocate here because I don't care, honestly. There's a picture of Mathieu Chouinard with Leo Messi, right? An opponent, a contemporary. Is that okay during the season? I mean, it's Messi. Does that change everything? Or is there a right to be, why should you put Messi on a pedestal and put out that picture? I don't care, but I know people will complain about that.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, I think, again, to to quote Forrest from the dark web, you know, it resting those guys and rotating through, it robs them of the chance to go toe-to-toe with this type of talent and perhaps players that they've revered over the course of their careers or idolized in a sense. So it's Leo Messi, who, it must be said, was wearing a very Jimmy Brennan shirt. Did you guys notice what he was wearing? That looked like the shirt Jimmy wore for the
loud.
Yeah, for the 500th episode. So I think Chouinard pulls out, I think Kokoro, I mean, Suarez is a guy that he has looked up to. And so we got to not only play against him, but have a chat with him. They swap jerseys. He just looks like a salt of the earth guy, Matias Kokoro. And if you haven't watched him play, he's going to just get you in that way. He just draws you in because of his work rate and he backs it up with the skill. And I was so pleased. He had two like massive opportunities in the first half and just was left wanting a little bit. And the goals got saved. They were errors on Miami's part and he just was unable to capitalize. And then he scored in the second half. So I was really pleased for him. So it's guys like getting to see these people and these players live, playing against them, testing yourself against them. But then I don't think there's anything wrong with that swap and like getting a jersey signed. And Chouinard had a Messi number 10 Argentine jersey. So, I mean, he's planned for it and he gets to do it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't even think there's anything wrong with like a Dreyusi or, you know, other stars in this league, Hani Mukhtar, whoever it is, you know, Cucho Hernandez, whatever, like the big stars in this league. If players are young and they're coming up through the ranks and these are the guys that they're putting on a pedestal, there's nothing wrong post game with a chat and looking to get your jersey signed. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Especially after picking up 3 points.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true, right? Maybe it'd be a different perspective had they not.
I agree with Dubs. You know, you hear about it a lot too, where players are swapping jerseys and, you know, having conversations with the oppositions. And some managers don't like that. Some managers, you know, frown upon that. I don't. I think, you know, if I'm playing against another player or teammates are playing against ex-teammates are playing against each other, there's a mutual respect for one another. Mm-hmm. If you want to swap a jersey at halftime walking into the tunnel, that doesn't affect the way that you're going to play. It doesn't take your mind off the game. It's like, what, a couple of minutes, quick conversation, swap the jersey, thanks, and away you go. And then you start getting prepared for the second half. Or after the game, you're taking your time talking. There's nothing wrong with it. It's respect for those individuals, for what they've done in the game. Mm-hmm. And people love these types of matches where you're playing against the best of the best because you kind of, as a player, you start to compete against him differently as well to find out really where you are. And then you get a better understanding when you're playing against a guy like Messi and you're like, holy shit, this guy's good. Like, he's really good.
Now you realize.
And you realize, but you realize even more because you're on the pitch with him. It's different from watching it and going, wow, this guy's amazing. But when you're actually in the moment playing against these types of players, you realize just how great they are and the way they think about the game and their movement. And it's appreciated. And most players in this world would do the exact same thing and try to get Messi's jersey or try to get a signature from him. I mean, against Ronaldo, we tried to get his jersey. All of us did. I'm running by and going, hey, you get a jersey at halftime? And he's like, no, I got to give it to the other guy. I was like, fuck him. He's a loser. Give me your jersey.
Meanwhile, Danny Dicchio's got his shirt somewhere. Yeah. Fucking loser.
It's a leveling of the playing field, isn't it? Like, it's a reality check in the best way. And it can be a sobering one. But it's also like a lot of these young guys are probably playing FIFA and like picking teams with these guys on it. And now they're getting to stand shoulder to shoulder with them in the tunnel and like actually see physically what they look like. You know what I mean? So there's that. This is almost a bringing down to earth. But then it's, as you say, Jimmy, it's the other end of the spectrum where you get to see this stuff happening live. You get to see the touch. You get to see the execution. You get to see the working in tight spaces and the skill at the highest level. And as much as, you know, sometimes, and Forrest, you'll probably do this, where somebody was talking about this team rotated in Miami and how it resembled a garage league. It's not that. But, I mean, you do have to account for the amount of talent that gets poured into this team with the injection of the likes of Alba and Busquets and Suarez and Messi. Like, I mean, you're really going to come down a level. But still, I think it's fabulous. And I don't think that you should take them to task for looking for a signature or a picture.
It's Messi.
Yep.
Enough said, right? That's what you got to say, really, isn't it?
It's yeah. Messi. I mean, he's yeah. one of the best of all time, if not the best.
But I think it's that's a great example of this, the different perspective players have compared to fans, right? Fans hate the opponent, no matter who they are. They hate them. Whereas you have that respect as a footballer that you're doing the same job here. Yeah, there's dickheads and guys you don't like and girls you don't like, I'm sure, you know, Carly Lloyd. But generally speaking, you're doing the same job and you have that mutual respect, which I can appreciate, whereas fans don't see that, right? But I'm curious how it, I mean, Jimmy, you've been on the field with Ronaldo. I mean, is it that obvious how much better he is than everyone else? Because as a regular dude like myself playing the old charity game against professionals, never at that level, obviously, but they're playing a different game to that I'm playing. And that's just like me playing against, you know, Stephen Caldwell, right? Yeah. We're playing a different quality game, right? Stevie isn't known for his skill, but when he's playing against a bunch of idiots like me, as well yeah. as still throwing elbows, by the way, Stevie, it's just, he's just doing things that I couldn't even dream of doing. How about yourself when you're playing against that level of football?
Yeah, when you're playing against that level, I think, you know, in the tunnel when you're lining up and you're looking, I didn't realize how big Ronaldo was until I played against him. Like he's a big man. And then out in the field, and you know, we had quite a few quick players as well. And I was like, you're opening up your legs big time. And you just realize how quick this guy is. And when I say open up, Sharms, I mean striding.
Oh, okay.
Striding, you're pushing yourself.
Post game.
During the match. This is such a loser.
Something you want to say to tell us here, Jimmy, about Ronaldo.
No, but when you're lining up against him or you're running beside him and you realize how quick he is, and then you see his touch, his movement, just where he sees a game. I remember one time, not because I played against him against Portugal, and then we played against Real Madrid. And there was one, we had Marvel Wynn who could jump like a kangaroo. And I remember a cross came over and Ronaldo must have jumped probably, I'd say, a foot and a half, almost 2 feet higher than what Marvel jumped at the same time. And you just couldn't believe how he elevates himself and how high he gets up. Why are you laughing?
And how big his unit is.
I'm going to say, really,
his legs.
Yeah, you really marveled at how high he could jump?
Oh, my God.
I think we've all discussed before that we all really hope that Ronaldo's got a tiny, tiny lunch kit.
Yeah,
because he's got everything else going for him, right? I mean, yeah. It'd just be fucking typical, wouldn't it? If he had like a good
take
old
Dubs.
Hanging there.
Take on Dubs. There's our promo.
I would imagine him being like gold member.
He is gold member.
You see a post-match in the Real Madrid locker room, like, well, Mr. Brennan, why are you in the shower? Why are you here? Your locker room's next door.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I would have raced in there. We're like, come on, boys, let's go.
Flop them out. Let's see. Let's be having you.
Let's see what everybody's working with. Come on.
Vancouver, Craig. You know, we're talking with Asa Raymond on three questions about players to watch for, who could really move up. And Ali Ahmed is a player that he pinpointed. And he scored a beautiful goal this weekend, as Vancouver beat San Jose, a good young kid who's, I think, set for a pretty great year. What a goal that was. And again, three more points for Vancouver.
Yeah, that was
three points,
really,
first win, but
tidy finish. Yeah, to top it off with a great win for Vancouver on the road, a team that they've been struggling with in recent years. And I think they lost both games last year against them, outscored 11-3 or something like that over the last six meetings or something like that. So they've really struggled on the road and against San Jose, and great to see them pick that 3 points up there under some pressure in the second half, but weathered that really well, defended pretty well, and then took their chances exceptionally well. So overall, Vancouver off to a pretty good start. I mean, they have to be really, really delighted with that. I mean, other than the sort of lackluster, not an overly great performance against Charlotte, but Charlotte's a team that's very well organized, tough to break down, as we saw with Toronto FC, that they finally did in the end, but still didn't lose. And all the Canadian teams really in Vancouver off to a really, really good start. It's good to see. And it's interesting. First game ever 50 years ago were against these two teams in 1974, 2-1 win for San Jose. It's amazing the history that we actually do have in North America. You know, it dates back an awful long way to the North American Soccer League. That's, you know, some of these teams have been around for an awful long time.
Yeah, it's a valid point, right? Sometimes we dismiss North America as this in its infancy regarding football, and in some regards it is. Mm-hmm. But there is history there going back a number of decades here, right? And we should probably celebrate that a little bit more than we actually do. Mm-hmm. TFC, I went to TFC this weekend. I was one of the scumbags in the stands drinking too much expensive beer. $20 now for a beer, by the way. All in.
I heard it's like $10 a piece for a slice of pizza.
Listen, I understand, having done sports events with my pie business, I understand what it costs. It costs money, right? It ain't cheap. You've got to mark your prices up. You just have to. But that's disgusting. It's just disgusting. I don't know how we raise hell and get beer prices down. It will never happen, I suppose. But over $20 for a fucking beer and a shit beer at that. What name, what beer it was, but it was shit. But I still bought it because I'm an idiot and probably an alcoholic.
But where did you drink your beer, Sharms?
I was in the stands. I wasn't in the. Well, it wasn't press box Sharms.
Oh, no,
it was a hoodlum Sharms this weekend.
Far left cubicle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I fired back a tall boy in the washroom beside the press box. But anyway, but walking down there, I tell you what, it was great. I think I sent a little video on Twitter. The smoke bombs were off, right? It smelled like a football, proper football match. It was really great, and a good performance. Insigne with the worldie again, two weekends in a row. But not just that, but it's that celebration with John Herdman, isn't it, Jimmy? That's making all the press right now. He seems to be liking John Herdman. A little bit of a bromance happening there, perhaps, it seems. They were pumped.
It seems that way. It's good to see when they score and everybody coming together. Obviously, Insigne is running towards John and they have a beautiful hug. I'm just laughing because they're eye level, aren't they? So the two of them just, you can see why they got a beautiful bromance right now.
Yeah. Lots of eye contact.
Lots of eye contact.
Yeah. If you put both of them on top of each other, they're probably my height.
little man combo.
With a big trench coat.
You know, because when you see that as well, you can see how cohesive they are. You can see the way that they're playing now. Everybody seems to be working for one another. And it's good to see that they're picking up points. They got a home win as well and where they are on the table. It's a dream start really for John, isn't it? It's a dream start. Considering where they were last year, they didn't really bring in too many players this season. You didn't think they were going to make an impact or difference. So it shows you the work that's gone on behind the scenes to get them where they are and get the confidence back in. Now, the time will tell as the season gets going. If they do hit a little slope or, you know, they get 2-3 losses in a row, do they go back to their old ways or can they find a way to get out of a bad situation? So time will tell where this club's going to be, but it's good to see where they're at right now.
I think it's obvious for everybody when we saw what happened after that goal, because I think the celebration with John was pretty telling of where this team is mentally. And we've talked about John and how he builds a culture as well as anybody I've ever seen before. And he's done it again. Whether they win games or lose games, this team is bought in 100% behind each other and John Herdman. You can see that. And that's quite amazing what he's done in a very short period of time, because he learns how these guys tick inside and out, what makes them move, what makes them want to play the sport that they grew up loving playing. They seem to have lost out in the last few years, been very, very poor at Toronto FC, but they couldn't make a bunch of moves, couldn't make a ton of turnover at this club, and they've done really well with what they've had. Say, listen, this is what we've got to deal with, and we've got to get everybody on board, and he's done that. So win, lose, or draw at this stage, they've certainly done a really, really good job for everybody buying in, considering how poor it was at the end of last year.
Yeah.
I'm hearing the word brotherhood a lot again. Sounds familiar.
Fuck, it's something else, man. I've never seen anybody do it quite like John Herdman.
Yep, sisterhood too, though. Robin Gale there as culture and performance coach, as an assistant with TFC, did it with John She won the bronze medal in 2012. She's got 81 caps for Canada. Fabulous teammate, just wonderful person. And John brought her onto staff when the team repeated, the women's team won the bronze medal in 2016. And then she went with him to the men's team and is a huge influence. And you talk about John building that culture where Robin is right there as the person that he really relies upon heavily to do all of that work. And so she's right there in a celebration. So it's Insigne and John eye to eye. And then it's Robbie, half a head taller than the both of them, is right in there as well.
You hear John talk about Robin Gayle. Like, he is so effusive about how important she is. And she's as important as anyone at that club and within Canada as well, the program before, when you talk about her.
Yeah. And she hates to talk about herself, but we're going to try to get her on the broadcast.
Yeah. Is she modest?
Extremely, to a fault.
Really?
If that's
she
possible.
Might just want to come on our show, like the overall show, not
no,
just the broadcast.
No, she doesn't. She just wants to
talk
to
women. Jesus Christ, Jesus. We can't have other women on this show, you know, though.
Yeah, I know. She's like,
yeah. Sorry, no, you can't have her. No, she's
that's
a girl.
No, that's not totally what it's
no,
about.
No, it's because she wants to be, the only woman on the show.
There's the cock block.
We're being cock blocked.
It's the badge block.
No, you can pay everybody lip service, you guys. Come on.
Okay.
We can't push it around this topic.
Forrest. Okay.
No, it's impressive for sure. And listen, it's three games in. You know, not the great. And listen, I saw someone whining, oh, just playing average teams. Who gives a fuck? This team was awful last year. They were terrible with a very similar looking squad.
They've got seven points through three games, and they only amassed 22 last year. Again, I'm better with words than math, but that's 32% of their total points that they got last year that they've already achieved through three games. Yeah. That's fucking
and three
huge.
Clean sheets.
That's massive.
Three clean sheets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This team was a sieve last year and had to, you know, last minute switch and got Gavran in there with Sean Johnson hurt. Yeah, you know what? All we can do is commend the club so far. And like Craig said, it kind of goes almost beyond wins and losses right now. It's that build. I don't think they really expect to win much this year. But if we see this progress, then I think the fans should be very happy. Do you see that video with Bill Manning and a fan? Fan said to him, basically, see what we can do with a real coach. And then Bill Manning responded like, yeah, of course. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Mm-hmm. Guys hired four coaches before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get one right. Come on. You know? He's walking away, and he probably knows he's being filmed.
Bill
right?
Manning has it's photos on MLSC. He has MLSC photos of the execs. That's what I'm saying right now. He's put in five coaches.
Mm-hmm. He also have a Grey Cup. Or is it two Grey Cups now? I forget now, because he runs the Argos too, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Who cares?
The jury is out. Right now, the team is playing well.
Sports is great. Go sports.
Yay. Lots of late goals this weekend, eh? In the MLS. 85th minute equalizer and a 97th minute beauty by Evander as Portland beat New York City FC. I mean, that was, holy crap, what a great goal that was. Was it better than, I almost said Jovinko. God damn, they remind me of each other. Was it almost as good as Insigne's? It wasn't quite as much power behind, kind of more of a slightly more looping perhaps.
Yeah, Insigne absolutely pummels it. Like, it got there quickly.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was Scott Arfield that he went around to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a pylon.
Yeah.
I always liked Scott Arfield. It's too bad that he I think he retired from Canada just before the World Cup run, didn't he?
Yeah. Quote unquote retired. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think he was still good enough to make that squad. Sure.
Yeah, good enough. Just... But did he mesh well with the rest of that team in terms of personality and attitude?
Ooh, I don't know. You tell me, Dubs.
Allegedly.
Really? I haven't heard this.
Yeah, rumblings that I heard. Yeah. Like fisticuffs at practice. And I know that it comes to blows sometimes. It doesn't necessarily mean that the room's toxic.
But every training session is an issue.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've heard. So who knows? Likely a lovely guy. I'm sure a good teammate, but I don't know for certain. It's just rumblings that I've heard that he didn't get along necessarily the leadership group or important and big personalities that John was really looking to rely upon.
Have you guys heard that? Jimmy? Craig?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Heard rumors?
Yeah, heard it. You have too, Craig. Really? Really? The kind of thing you would have thought we would have heard in this podcast before. Bit of dirt.
Generally, dig people out.
I kind of feel awful for bringing that up now.
What else don't we know that you know and you haven't divulged on this podcast? Anything?
I don't know.
Probably like, these experts.
You know, Dubs can't keep it. Keep it hidden.
They all have
She's not the vault.
Oh, I'm a. I can push shit in the vault.
I know you are.
These ex-players, they got so much shit that they're not talking about, right? I wish they... And then again, like, when the cameras are off, I'm having a few pints, and these stories come out about so-and-so. Why can't you talk about that?
Well, even when it's about themselves, they say things, and we're like, can you just... That was a brilliant story. No one gets harmed. Than
Robin Gale.
Yeah,
exactly. It's Robin Gale meter of modesty.
Well, and this is going back to Forrest and me looking up his history, which I've never done before. And we're sitting out in my backyard smoking some herbal medicinal things and, you know, realizing he was MVP of the season at Ipswich. And he goes, well, the only reason, but this is how he thinks, too, is the team did horribly. So the only reason he won MVP is if it's called most valuable player of the year. Was because the team was so bad. So he didn't think it was worth speaking about. You know, those are those stories. Oh, you were going to ask a story about that too. Charms.
I was?
Well, about because there was a great save. I saw that on the rundown.
Did I? Where was that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting to the Premier League, surely. Yeah, yeah, we are. No, but how bad was Ipswich when they had a bad year and the best player was a goalkeeper? I mean, how shit were they that year? How bad could they have been without Craig Forrest?
We were relegated.
Okay, well, there you go.
You were bad.
Not a great season.
I kind of hate that take. It's like CF Montreal last year sure was a shit season and it was disappointing, but like Mathieu Chouinard gets the MVP and Joe Sirois gets the Defensive Player of the Year. He still had 11 clean sheets. Chouinard had 5 goals, 5 assists, and sure you want somebody to be the talisman, you want a striker to be bagging goals, but you don't chop down the guys who did perform, right? You still have to acknowledge them and hold them up.
Well,
so
like when
good
you have,
for you, Forrest.
You have a player of the year, the player awards dinners, right, for each club postseason in UK in particular, right? And when you have relegation seasons, often those are cancelled, aren't they, Craig? You often hear about that. Just doesn't look good aesthetically to the fans when they have these big swanky affairs in clubs and team was terrible.
Yeah, I remember those on relegation years, and they're not so much fun when they're giving you the player of the year trophy and whatever on the pitch and you've been relegated. It's kind of
it's so true, isn't it? And defender of the year is so and so. But you got the worst record because you conceded the most goals in the league.
Yeah.
And then you're the top goal scorer, 8 goals of the season.
It's not, you're not
apologetic. You're not using your two thumbs and pointing to the name of your back, are you?
The only one that gets appreciated is the young player of the year because it's a young kid chucked into the group. And
yeah,
I love that one. But if you've had a stinker and you're handing out the awards, you don't even want to go up and get your award.
Yeah.
You feel like
but then when you're so far removed from your career and on a podcast, you can use revisionist history and just talk about the fact that you were the MVP of the season or the defender of the year and not mention that the team was relegated.
No context.
Yeah.
Purely it was the year we lost 9-0 at Man United too. So it shows you how busy I was.
Hey, could have been 12-0, Craig. Should have been 12. Yeah. Let's be honest. All right. So, by the way, I want to get to this before we forget because I forgot last time. This time last week, Dubs gave us a great trivia question, and we didn't know the answer to it, including Dubs. And we promised that we'd get the answer to the trivia question, and we actually now have it, don't we, Dubs? It was after who scored last week in the knockout phase in the Champions League? Oh, Harry Kane scored for Bayern Munich, right? And 2 other English players have scored for foreign teams in the knockout rounds of the Champions League. Who were they? Mm-hmm. Dubs?
Steve McManaman and Jude Bellingham.
Can you believe we forgot Jude Bellingham, who like literally just did it?
Wow. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You got one right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what everyone hopes.
There's the answer for the worst trivia segment of all time in any show.
Yeah, we'll have the answer for you in a week.
Well, it was
worst
crickets.
Trivia show ever.
It was crickets. We're all sitting there. It was the Jeopardy song went on for like 6 minutes and just kept on going. We're all like, oh, I don't know.
I was so excited to hear the answer as well. I was like, oh, I can't wait to find out what the answer is. Okay.
Nobody you were knows. Desperate for it to be Gary Lineker. You're like, I think Gary Lineker. It's
yeah,
gotta
I know.
Be Gary
he was
Lineker.
Desperate for it.
It's like, no.
Hey, Sharms, can you throw to commercial?
I was about to do that, actually. Yeah, I know. I should remember for once. Yeah. Hey, let's go to a commercial break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
And we're back from a commercial break. All right, Premier League action. Liverpool 1, Man City 1. Given that second half, how Luis Diaz just bossed it. It's amazing, actually. A year ago, we're lamenting the decline of Liverpool in the midfield and how bad it is. And I thought they just absolutely owned City for much of that game yesterday. And in the end, Dubs, would it be fair to say that they were unfortunate not to win this thing?
Yes. I think from City's perspective, the way that they lost control in that second half, I think they're thrilled to walk away from that with a point. The way that pendulum kind of swung in terms of the momentum. And you look at the big chances in the second half. I mean, you talked about Diaz. He probably had three game winners on his boot. And other opportunities as well. Like City kind of clawed their way back into it towards the end of that game, but there was still opportunities via set pieces that Liverpool had. I think just a masterful performance in the middle of the park. By Liverpool, McAllister, he scores that penalty, but just the way that he pulled the strings, Harvey Elliott, I thought was brilliant. I love Harvey Elliott and Endo, the way that he kind of patrolled the middle of the park. I think that Silva and Foden, I mean, Foden had a couple of opportunities himself. He had that one that he came in and it was sort of deflected off of him and it smashed off the crossbar. And he had another one that Kelleher had to save. So he was more involved, you saw Kevin De Bruyne, his body language when he's pulled off by Pep. I don't think he was as influential as Pep would have hoped or as he himself would have hoped. So, but I think that was due in large part, not because they didn't perform, but to the brilliance of the Liverpool midfield.
Mm-hmm. Virgil van Dijk was awesome as well. You got to remember. You remember when they brought him in, it all changed, and it was like he was at his best on the weekend. And the pace of the game was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Great yeah, and it's funny because Virgil van Dijk, people have been saying since the injury, hasn't quite been the same, which I for a while there was true, but I think this year he's been really good. And yesterday, like I said, Craig, I mean, he was at his very, very best. He was superb.
Won everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was it was a really good game. That 1v1 where he had Haaland driving right at him, you know, but he's able to contain him, which is, I think, the best that you can do when you've got the giant Norwegian storming at you, right? And he kind of gets turned around a couple times, but he's able to push him off keeps him on his left, but he's able to prevent him from executing or getting off a really dangerous shot. And there are a couple of other occasions where he has him, he pushes him to his right, you know, like little subtleties of the game that you can really appreciate about Virgil and the way that he marshals that back line, because he had Kwanzaa to his right as well, right? And he had Joe Gomez as well putting in a shift. So, I mean, Liverpool not really at full strength, but able to dominate that match. So I think to your original question, Sharms, I think that, you know, even though Klopp was thrilled, I think the way that it came off and it was a great spectacle, but I think with the big chances that they had, I think they're left wanting a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Do you notice the hug that Pep and Klopp had at the end of that game, the mm-hmm. respect that they have for each other? That was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, they've both redefined English football, haven't they, the last 6-7 years, really. Yeah. I mean, that league's gone to a new level because of those two guys.
I agree.
And Klopp's leaving, and who knows when Pep leaves, probably not too far away, right? And we're going to really miss him, obviously. What do you make of the Doku high boot on McAllister? Should that have been given as a penalty, Craig?
Well, she's seen it given for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He was high. Yeah. And because he's not the tallest guy in the world,
yeah,
it couldn't be much higher than that, right?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing, Jimmy?
It's that weird hand that came up.
Oh. Are these thumbs working by the way today? Are they working?
It looked fake.
They're not working, are they? The thumbs aren't working today. Oh, no, Dubs is.
Yay! Double thumbs up fireworks.
Yeah.
Two thumbs down rainstorm. Mm.
Look at your face there. Oh, it's raining. It's a great podcast.
Did you ever try one of these dubs? What's this one gonna do? Just to
that gives you a slap in the face.
Confused.
Oh.
You get my favorite one? Hmm?
Meep, meep.
I don't know. Two hands up.
Mm-hmm. It's the straight mouth though.
No, I think the line mouth. That's true.
Line mouth.
That's number 1A1B. I think it was Robbie Fowler talking post game. He joined the panel of the coverage that I was watching on.
Or was it Rob Brindamore?
Right. Who knows? He talked an awful lot about the Hurricanes, but it's strange. but on Fubo TV, Wonger. Mm. And Fowler was saying, you know, debatable about whether or not that's a penalty. But he said, for me, it is, because that's a foul that's given on any other part of the pitch. So I think if it's a foul in the middle of the park, why isn't it a foul in the 18?
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to argue with that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fuck, it should be in 3 points. God damn it. Instead, Arsenal's in first place. Man, can Arsenal hold on? I know. It mm-hmm. is, isn't it? It's brilliant. A point between the top three teams.
Yeah.
Oh. And I tell you what, I have to say, as a Liverpool fan, there's a sense of relief when I look at the standings and see how far ahead they are fourth. And even fifth, that at least we have Champions League football next year. That's kind of important. Mm. So, but the title race is
no settle already, Sharm. Stop it.
I have to settle, Dubs.
No.
How many years I watched this team and yeah, I'm not settling for Champions League football. Of course not. But it's just there is that silver lining.
You do see where his career is, Dubs. He's been settling for 4.5 years already.
Mm-hmm. We're all on a podcast, haven't we all settled?
Yeah.
No, but specifically this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a good podcast. It's this podcast.
Yeah.
But Arsenal, do you think, Jimmy, can they hold on, do you think? I mean, they're playing such good football now. Ever since we, you know, people are getting questioning, they need a centre forward. They can't score goals. They're scoring goals, you know, left, right and centre. Not a ton this weekend, obviously, but they're playing really solid football.
Mm.
We're getting to that point, though, where they have in the past
crumbled.
Yeah. So what do you think?
I don't know. You hope that they've learned from the experience because they've been here before. They've been in this situation. Everybody thought they were going to win it. And all of a sudden the pressure towards the end of the season, you know, they have teams biting on their heels and they crumbled. And you hope that they've learned from that experience because they've been here. So now it's about the manager, the staff, the group, getting together and holding on for dear life now because you're in the driver's seat. Now it's up to you to lose it. But the one thing you know that Liverpool and Man City are going nowhere and they're going to be on you until the end of the season. So there will be a lot of pressure. It'll be interesting to see how they do handle it now.
I think that the difference between Arsenal and we've seen in the past, I got to say, is Declan Rice. I think he was a signing of the season. I think he's a signing that when they brought in Van Dijk, and Allison into Liverpool. I think it's that kind of impact that he's had. I think he's going to turn out to be an absolute bargain at whatever they paid. What was it, 90 million or something crazy like that?
Yeah, which is insane. But he played a more advanced role the other day. He gets a goal for it. But I think he's still better kind of as a six, kind of as a pivot in the middle of the park. But, I mean, showing that he can do anything. Doesn't matter how he's deployed. He's going to be influential.
Yeah, and they missed that guy. They've been trying to find him for years, really, that type of player.
Mm-hmm.
And to Arsenal, I'm attracted to sixes. I'm attracted to sixes.
Nothing wrong with a good six.
Try really hard. Have some talent.
It's all about their work ethic, isn't it?
It is.
Sorry, Shams. I was just going to say, like, to your question to Jimmy about whether or not Arsenal can do it. I think I read an article a little while ago about Granit Xhaka. That's how you say his name, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who was with Arsenal Xhaka last year. Gave a speech, apparently a rousing speech, to the guys at Leverkusen to say, because they're 10 points ahead now, right? So not to take their foot off the gas, and not saying that that was something that Arsenal did last year, but just talking about how much regret he had that they weren't able to see it through. So you have to think that in Arsenal's dressing room, having lived that, you know, that core of that team, that their season now, they understand perhaps what it takes. So the fact that Havertz was able to get it over the line, they were able to claim 3 points in that game, that those are learnings. Those are, you know, that's experience that they've gleaned. And so maybe they're in better stead, much to my chagrin as a Liverpool supporter.
I love seeing Xhaka do well at Leverkusen this season, because he was hammered at Arsenal. And I always liked him. You know, he's always a red card away from ruining the game. But just the physicality of the guy, you know, and he was a good leader. And we're seeing that at Leverkusen now, right? So it's nice. Looking at Arsenal's the next few games, though, I mean, this is going to be a defining moment of the season. So they play Porto tomorrow, I think it is. And they're down 1-0 in Champions League. They then play Chelsea. Then it's Man City at City. Then Luton, which is, you know, never a pushover. They play Brighton. They've got Villa on the cards too. They got Wolves. Then they got Spurs in the big derby, right? There's some tough, tough games coming up there. Yeah. If they get through those games and they're still in first place, now we're talking, right? That is a legitimate title run. It's going to be a great finish to the season. Spurs smash Villa, by the way. What about Sonny?
So good.
Wonger's favorite player.
Yeah, how are you not wearing that kit, Wonger?
It's on my bed and I jack into it.
Come on.
You know, there are lines that we don't care about crossing, but then there's other lines.
It's Monday morning. We all need to lighten up and enjoy the day. Come on now.
Started off pretty good for you.
Not so much for the shirt.
No, the shirt is happy. The shirt is happy right now.
I hope you don't yell out his name when you're doing it and the neighbors can hear. Oh, son.
I want to thank Jaideep again. I read your book, Jaideep. Really thoughtful, dude. It was so, I'm so thankful. It actually made me a little teary. So thanks, pal. Really appreciate it.
You were Jaideep in the Sunny kit.
I was. It's that material. It's very soft and applicable.
So Sonny's now the joint top scorer for Spurs.
Jeez, he's ever. Good.
Think about that.
So good.
So understated too, right? Such a good guy. There's no bullshit around Sonny. Just does it with a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. He's a leader, obviously, as well. We need more Sonnies in the world, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And James Madison's.
Brighter days.
Yeah.
Hey, and Jimmy's namesake got a goal too.
Brennan Johnson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not just his namesake, right, Jimmy, but he's actually named after Jimmy Brennan by his dad, David.
Yeah.
I think that's what namesake means.
Former teammates.
Good thing he's a better finisher.
I'm a better finisher. Check this shirt.
Sonny and Wonger.
I'll show you how to finish, internet.
OnlyFans/Footy Prime. That's the new thing on OnlyFans. That's our channel. It's just Wonger jacking off into soccer shirts. You get the sickos.
Craig left his basket of soccer shirts here. I can go through them all.
You reach in there. Who's the lucky shirt today? Oh, it's Mo Salah.
Lucky Mo.
Imagine Warner's letter that he's sending out to clubs asking for jerseys.
So I'm doing this thing in Canada, Canadian media.
Here's my DNA.
Can we get a show sponsor for that?
Sharps, it's like we do the unboxing, like open, and then on OnlyFans, I do my thing. I do my act, the ping pong ball act.
Like, we should get a show sponsor.
Is this the new low?
Who's more likely to sponsor that? Adidas, Puma, Nike?
We've hit it.
This is, yeah, I think you're right. We haven't ever gone this low before.
Yeah. Well, you know what they
congratulations,
say.
Congratulations, Wonger.
Well, you know what they say.
You drag us down, don't you?
When they go low, we go lower.
It started so nicely, you know, Sonny having a great game and looking wonderful, and Spurs beating Villa, not just beating them, but smashing Villa.
Smashing them, though. Yes.
Yeah.
But another. Yeah.
The way I smashed this kid.
Let's move on to the game, shall we?
But the worst part is it's the visual because his bed is right behind them. You can see everything.
Jimmy, you're just a visual guy. You just want to watch. I know you. You're a lurker. You're a lurker.
Let's move on to Manchester United beating Everton, shall we? Great save by Pickford. I know Everton lost again. They can't score goals. That's why they're could well go down this season. Again. Pickford, great save on Fernandes in the 28th minute. And after the save, do you see it? Craig, he was laughing. He's kind of with his teammates saying, holy shit, that was a good one. I love that. I love Pickford's character.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what's your favorite save, Craig? Have you got a favorite save? Is it one when you're, you know, on the Mount Rushmore of, you know, Canadian sports stars? What moment is going to be emblazoned or immortalized in rock? What save?
I played for so many shitty teams. I had a lot of saves.
Some good teams too. There we go again, right? These ex pros is too bad. Yeah. Some good teams too. Jesus Christ. West Ham finished fifth, remember? Anyway, so there isn't one save?
No, I wouldn't say one save. No. No.
It wasn't your best save.
Internationally, it would have been the Gold Cup penalty probably against Colombia.
There's the answer.
That would be probably it, knowing that if they scored, we had about 10, 15 minutes remaining in the game.
Is that the one where you saved that we all ran over to you and you don't told us all to fuck off?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy, can you describe that one?
Fuck off. Get out of the box. Okay. See
you later. I just knew that, you know, we were on to something, Jimmy. We knew we were on to something. We were playing really well. It was probably the best game we played in the Gold Cup in the final against Colombia. And you just knew that, you know what? I was old enough to know that things are going to go sideways really quickly. Yeah. And if it does, this is going to be something that we're going to regret for the rest of our lives. So fucking concentrate for the next 10 minutes and let's get the job done. Because normally I'm not really obviously like that, I would say. But I just wanted to make sure we got it done.
That's what I felt like during the last Spurs chat.
I need to ask you a question. A goalkeeper normally goes through how many sets of gloves throughout a season?
Well, you have your match gloves that will keep good shape for, I don't know, 5-6 games, I would say.
Depends on how bad the team is, right?
Yeah, how much.
Edison's gloves lost in the entire season.
Right. Yeah. I would imagine Man City, Ederson, and Allison probably go through the whole season with one pair of gloves.
But you said match gloves, so you don't practice? You have a different set of gloves for games?
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. So, like, you're not breaking them in or, like, feeling good in a pair and choosing those for your game? You're, like, busting out a new pair for a game?
Well, I wouldn't bust out a new pair without having some sort of, you know, 15, 20 minutes training session.
A longer session in advance?
Yeah, you're busting things out.
Yeah. You got to use both hands, though, because you want to make sure.
Okay.
Always use two hands, Craig. It feels different.
The old pepper pot.
I That's when they come to your table and they're like, would you like more pepper? And you're like, yeah, loads, please.
Absolutely. Always more pepper.
Yeah, that's right.
Just put some on that side plate as well for me later.
Sharms is disgusted.
I just two hands. How? Well, I just don't know how it's possible.
Made a smaller person. For you, man, Sharms.
It's been a pretty good show today, but man, we've hit some fucking lows. That's for sure.
We really have.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Any other games in the Premier League you guys want to talk about before we move on? We're almost at the hour mark, so don't feel you have to.
No, we should get on to the Gold Cup. I want to know whether Amy sleeps in Alex Morgan's top.
Yeah, the States win. The States win.
Of course they do.
Beat Brazil 1-0 after all the conversation about how they're fading, a fading force. They just they win the W Gold Cup, eh, Dubs? Fun, huh?
Yes, super fun, Charms. Oh, Charms.
That's me. I'm sorry. Actually, it's Toronto Hydro. Fuck you, Toronto Hydro. You're clueless.
Anyway. Bill just got jacked.
Yeah.
Hey, Wonger.
Yeah. Time to pay some bills.
Me and Toronto Hydro are like this on OnlyFans.
Wonger's going to call them with two hands later. So stupid.
Sorry, Doug. Back.
No, there's nothing. I don't want to talk about the U.S. winning.
Okay,
I want to talk about Adriana Leon. She still won the Golden Boot on six
Olivier
goals.
Olivia Smith won. Olivia Smith won the young player. What have we got her in her exactly, Dubs? How good could she be?
Oh, she's got a huge upside. So she's playing with Sporting CP, playing in a professional environment. I think you get a player who can fucking rip a shot. I mean, I think watching this team, you want them to shoot more from distance. You have a player like that in Leon who can do it. I think with Olivia, you get somebody who's really lively on the ball, who's really powerful 1v1 and can unleash a shot. So she just gives you a different dimension, the same way that Chloe Lacasse gives that attacking line a different dimension with that Maisy dribbling, great awareness, real footballing IQ. I think Olivia still has some growing to do. I think Rian alluded to it on the last broadcast, just that she's not quite there yet, but she's close. And she's pushing the players who are in front of her, which is also something really important for the national team.
Well, let's hope so. Olympics not too far away. That's the hype machine start up for that, shall we? John David scored two more goals, by the way. He's the hottest striker in Europe, I think, outside of Mbappe in France, certainly. And Mbappe was dropped this weekend. As that situation continues with Luis Enrique and Mbappe, although Mbappe says there's no issue with him and the coach. He goes, he's got issues at the club, but not with him, with Luis Enrique. But the narrative there is that he's been dropped. He was dropped last week as well, or pulled off at halftime. Stop it, Wenger. because of the move to, well, wherever it is, probably Real Madrid, but the confirmation that he will be leaving in the summer. So I guess all they care about is the Champions League at this point anyway. So they'll play him for those games and then manager's minutes in Ligue 1. Did you see this in Italy? In Lecce, you have fired their manager, Roberto De Versa, after he headbutted Thomas Henry, an opponent. Basically, Lecce are playing Hellas Verona. It kind of kicked off post-match, and the manager, De Versa, headbutted Thomas Henry, and he's now being fired for it.
Overstepped it a little bit, didn't he?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he try to milk it a little bit?
Yeah. Too much.
Jesus.
No.
Keep going lower. Keep going lower. It's good. I'm here for it.
Well, actually, this kind of fits. Actually, this
I'm just saying Lecce and milk. Oh, that was it. Yeah.
Remember Ronaldo's gesticulations, and he got banned for it. He got a one match fine for I forget who Al Nassr was playing there, because all the messy chants. He's now responded to it. And he says he tries to be a better man every day. He says all the right things because it was a misunderstanding. How the fuck do you misunderstand that? Jesus. Maybe because you're not freaking 14 inches. Maybe that's what the misunderstanding was. You were still wanking the wank sign to the audience.
Yeah.
Berating you. So, yeah, I'm not having that at all. Anything else you want to get to, people? No. I think
we do have a looky likey.
Oh, do we? Is it going to be better than last week's?
It's going to be way better. Speaking of setting the bar low, Sharms.
It was good. I'm going to do a blog today, and I'm going to put some more photos up of Oliver Glasner and Jason Bateman, and you're going to see it. You are.
It was really.
Please, listeners out there, please back me up here.
There's no chance.
No.
Just Google Oliver Glasner and Jason Bateman. They're the same person. No. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, JC.
Speaking of the same person, ladies and gentlemen, looky likey.
It's one of the best bits of fun you'll ever have in a night. Trust me, just do it. Just look for looky likey. Brilliant fun. Love looky likeys. Looky likeys over there, left. No, but the lift
concept is
the best balls. The best looky likey I've ever had. Just look for looky likey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We've seen that before. We mentioned it before, for sure.
Yeah. We have done. So we've got Rian Wilkinson in her heyday and Jessie Fleming. So I think I was really trying to find a picture of each of them with their hair down and smiling, but it was tough to do because they both prefer to wear their hair back. But I thought playing wise, I just think rosy cheeked when they played, freckly, same color hair. There's a lot of resemblance. So I think that's a good looky-likey with Rian Wilkinson and Jessie Fleming.
Don't you think Jessie and Dana Matheson look more similar?
No.
Don't you?
No.
I've always thought that.
No, maybe he's so like, much. Maybe playing style?
Maybe
you can draw more comparisons the there? Looky-likey.
Oh, they play the same kind of game. No, I've always thought that.
Oh, it's like your Glasner one.
No. Well, yes, actually it is. Yeah. As a matter of fact.
No, that it's like shit.
And that's a bit of a stretch, that one. Wasn't the greatest. I'll give that a 1 or 6 out of 10.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, we need to talk about our Tony Bet recap. Our community pick went down in flames because that was a 1-1 draw, City and Liverpool. And then Bournemouth. On our parlay, Bournemouth and Ipswich went down. And Jimmy, what was yours?
Cadiz beat Atletico Madrid.
And who did you choose?
Atletico.
Oh, okay. I have to say, though, I did go with the TFC beating Charlotte, and they did. So had I done my own bet, or done it anyways.
Mm-hmm. How did the
let me my Wolves the, bet held too?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wolves bet. Sharms, what did you go with? Do you remember?
I went with Man U, actually.
Two zip.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, that's our Tony Bet recap.
Did. Do we know how the supporters did before?
Yeah, the community bet went down in flames. No, that was the 1-1 draw. Our community bet, they picked. Oh, supporters pick. Sorry.
Two very different things.
Yeah, they are.
Let me look here.
I think they also had Ipswich.
They lost two out of three. Yeah, they lost Ipswich. They lost Sligo Rovers.
That's
Shamrock, and they got Arsenal beating Brentford.
Sligo Rovers, what league?
Sligo Rovers.
Sligo. What
Irish.
League? Irish.
I think it's
league.
Irish Premier, isn't it? Is that what it's called, Jimmy? Irish Premier League? Yeah. Yeah. So there you have it. All right. That's the show for another week. Well, another week, another day. Tomorrow, Dubs, you got Montreal tomorrow? Three questions?
Yes.
Okay, great. We have TFC and Vancouver probably being recorded on Wednesday, as is the foundational, of course. Check them all out and check out our website. We are footyprime.com. We're adding stuff all the time. I will add that Jason Bateman, Oliver Glasner today. And I want you people to assess and let us know how far off I am. Is it a 6 out of 10 or what I think it is, a good 9 out of 10? All right. Till next time, everyone. Thank you, Tony Bet. Thank you, Fubo TV. Thank you for listening, both of you. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Vote Brennan on Legend Row.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.